everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. My name is Roger Landry. I'm the host of the show, and this is episode number 43 for Wednesday, March 8th, 2023. As is usual, it seems like every time I get ready to do a show, my throat decides to get a little on the rough side, but if that's the worst case scenario, I can definitely put up with it as long as y'all can. As is usual, this show is sponsored by TLBTalk.com, our social media platform, and the Liberty Beacon Project is proud to offer that to you as a place to go where you know you can say the things you know that need to be said. And the problem is today, in far too many places, you just can't do it. But we are proud to have TLBTalk.com. for you to go to. If you go there for nothing else other than maybe not so much to be social, but to start a group where you can bring the people that you know need to have the discussions that you aren't being allowed to have, if that's the only reason you use this mechanism, then it has succeeded. So start a blog, start a group, and if you want to be social, be social. That's TLB Talk. All right. The title of today's show is Backdoor Authoritarianism by Who? And Who is spelled capital W, capital H, capital O. Yeah, as in World Health Organization. So let me read that again. Backdoor Authoritarianism by Who? Okay, again, this show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLB. It is co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will bring into the discussion as soon as I get through this canned intro that I do every single week because I feel it's that important. The mission of this show and every show I do is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. That's how I open the show. That's why I discuss TLBTalk.com. The show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie. Annie and I have been friends for many years. I have a lot of faith, a lot of trust, and a lot of friendship in Annie. And also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. So we are fortunate to have some great platforms which wish to share our information. Having said that, here Roger goes again. I know that a lot of you, especially those who would attend the chat, and for anybody who doesn't know, I don't know if you've ever heard me say this, I do not look at the chat while I am doing the show. I just cannot do it. I have way too much information. And if somebody is ripping me a new butthole, I'm sure Steve's going to make me aware of it. But the chat is valued, especially for great people and great partners within the Liberty Beacon Project, like Luca Maggio, who also has a show on Annie's network and is more than likely in the chat today, as well as Stephen, who is my co-host. The chat is there. It is appreciated. I apologize. I just don't have time to follow it. You all know how much information I put out over the course of a show. So please do not be offended if you send me something and I don't answer it, because I never have the chat live. I don't. And there's reasons for that. So let me continue with those reasons being the information I need to put out. How are you today, Stephen? And did that make sense?
Yeah, a lot of sense, you know. I mean, I have chats on and, I have one chat on and there's two other chats, but nobody hardly ever is in there live. But I've had guests or people I've hosted in the past said, no, they can't follow chat because it's too much of a bother for them, or I don't know.
Well, it's not a bother for me. It's not. It's a matter of being distracted from the information that I need to put out. And what did I tell you? Now, I'm going to tell everybody what I just told you, and all I want you to do is verify it. How many pages of notes did I say I had for today's show?
Well, you said you was a little bit short on information. You only had 10.
That's word for word what I told you. Yes. So people need to understand I come prepared to give you information. Our mission is to keep you armed with vital truths as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital issues without fear of censorship and exclusion, that, of course, being TLBTalk.com. Some of the information put out on the show today is made available via an article by David Bell, and a link will be, as usual, included in the article on the LibertyBeacon.com tomorrow, Thursday, by noon Central Time. And it will include active links to any other pertinent information. You're not going to get much from his article from me today. I don't have that much time. It's a really good article. It's got a lot of data points in it, but I will make sure that you have an active link to it so that you can go to it. I use it for reference points and to give you something you could go to if you're trying to understand whether or not Roger's blowing it out his butt or not. I don't. I never do. If I say something with intent, if I say something with volume, it's because I truthfully believe it. If I say it with a lot of volume, it's because it pisses me off. If I say it with a chuckle, it's because it's either idiotic or it makes me laugh. So now down to business. Again, Eagle's Eye Report, Backdoor Authoritarianism by who? All right, let's get through some of the talking points that I've set up for today, because these, as far as I'm concerned, are where you get the most information. And you also understand exactly how I feel about it. Everybody here that's listened to me before understands that I research at least 10 hours. I work 18 hours a day. I haven't had a day off in almost 14 years now. I do this every single day. 6 global websites, a social media website, and at least 3 or 4 radio shows a week, sometimes as much as 7 radio shows a week. So I do my due diligence. I do a lot of research. I spent 30 years working for this government, either in the military or working for Raytheon for the military industrial complex. So allow me to do my penance. Yeah. I'm not really joking, but I say that with a chuckle. All right, so let's start off with a general talking point or two to help put this topic into a perspective that brings a lot of my weekly discussions into focus under one roof. A lot of the things you've heard me say over the last couple of months will come under the same roof today. If you are as a so-called elite, and some of them call them elites, I say that simply because people understand what I mean when I say that, intended to take over governance on a global scale without a massive nuclear exchange, what would you do? Just how would you go about accomplishing this with as little pushback or violence as possible? If you're an elite, how do you take over the world without causing massive violence? How about, I don't know, you fire up a global pandemic, or, as I like to say, you fire up a global plandemic, Event 201, the likes of which this planet has never seen before at all, or is led to believe via propaganda, blatant lies, or even premeditated murder that we have not. In other words, we're looking at something that everybody believes to be one of the worst pandemics the world has ever seen, when in fact we're looking at a plandemic that has been pulled, the wool has been pulled over our eyes via global propaganda, blatant lies, and even premeditated murder. How can I say that? Stop and look at the rise in unexplained deaths. The rise attributed to the vaccines, the rise attributed to how many people in hospitals when they were told don't put them on ventilators because 86% of those with quote unquote COVID who went on ventilators died. So when I say even premeditated murder, they knew this. Even today, there are hospitals across the planet. If you go in with COVID, they will put you on a ventilator. In America, that could mean as much as $250,000 to the hospital. But you had to go out of the hospital in a body bag in order to get that money. How about you vaccinate a massive portion of the global population either by fear, force, or coercion with an mRNA death trap? No, I'm not kidding. Multiple times, as many as five, to ensure your desired outcome, which is to initiate a slow 3 to 5 and up to as many as 10-year die-off while rendering a large portion of said population infertile via the same mechanism. Am I joking? No, I'm not. You take a look at the rise in death across the planet, something nobody's talking about. Why? Because there's how many people coming across the southern border? Why? Because train derailments have gone off the scale. Why? Because you can't get certain foods in your grocery store right now. Why? Because teachers are teaching, you know, critical race theory. Why? Because Joe Bob is an idiot. Why? And it's not just in America. So who is looking at this? Who is looking at the biggest issue this planet should be focused on and isn't? And that is the rise in death that is physically happening right now, today. And it's in its infancy, people. Over the next 3 to 5 years, with emphasis on no further out than 10, I would say actually probably no further out than 7 or 8 years, we will see a massive portion of this globe die. And what's going to be the coup de grace? How many people, over 6 billion people, have been vaccinated globally? And we are already hearing doctors and researchers saying this is causing massive sterilization. So whoever doesn't die from the vaccines will never have kids. Take it out 10 years and think of how many children over that 10-year period are not going to be born. Add that to the people who are going to die. When people die in a normal planetary situation, you have a birth rate that replaces those individuals, and in a lot of cases, maybe at a higher rate than the death rate. But if you've got a massive death rate, and I don't know, very few people all of a sudden are having children, what's the total, people? None of this is a guess. If you would do some research, all of this is blatantly factual. Infertility is screaming up across the planet. I dare you to do some research on it. Don't research COVID. Just go in and talk and research infertility globally, or pick a couple of nations that have a high birth rate usually and look at how it's dropping. And then compare that to how many people are dying or suffering massive side effects from these global vaccines, over 6 billion people vaccinated out of 8 billion. And understand that the die-off I've been telling you about for over a year, well, I've only done 44 shows here, but I've actually been talking about it on my other shows and my blogs for over 2.5 years. These are all facts. How about you blame the ever-increasing global die-off on this scamdemic or newly initiated plandemics? Because we already have information that's been published stating that Big Pharma wants to know when they can get the next pandemic started. Not a joke. Who knows? Will it be something that, I don't know, is derived from the SARS-CoV-2? Or will it be something brand new? I think they tried it with monkeypox, but that didn't work. Most people went, ha, yeah, okay. But let's see what it comes from and when it gets here. All right. How about you blame the ever-increasing global die-off and scamdemic again on newly initiated plandemics? Not a joke. We have heard talk about this over and over again, but at this point, it's just talk. But talk that's global. How about you get your bought and paid for or compromised country leaders, young global leaders of the World Economic Forum? Yeah, like the guy who runs Canada, like the guy who was running Great Britain, like the guy who runs France, like the guy, and I wouldn't exactly call him young, but whatever, the guy that runs the United States, and I could go on and on. How about you get these to facilitate this scenario using mainstream media, big tech, and government health agencies as the tool to terrify and propagandize their population into unquestioned compliance? Gee, are we seeing that? Did we see, I don't know, the FDA slam us up against a wall and we had to take a vaccine because it was the only thing that was going to save our lives, how they were safe and effective? Today, we know for a fact they are neither safe nor effective. This isn't a guess. This isn't a scientifically proven fact. But yet the CDC and the FDA slammed that down your throat for 2 years. Not only that, but they forced it on your children. The most deadly pharmaceutical product ever used on humanity, and they coerced or forced you via the mechanism of fear to give that to your children. We have no idea what the repercussions of that will be, but I can give you one real good guess, and that is most of your children who receive these vaccines in order to go to school will never have children. And that's probably the lightest side of that. How about you blackmail non-cooperative third world countries into compliance via the mechanisms of the World Bank, loans to their country, again, third world countries, monetary restrictions, trade restrictions, travel restrictions, vaccine passports, or whatever it takes to force them into accepting global rule via the World Health Organization. Not a joke, not a guess, an absolute fact. The pressure is already on African and South American countries to comply with the very mechanisms I just gave you. If I'm going to tell you anything like this, I'm not guessing. So today, again, we're putting everything in one bucket, okay? How about you focus the authority and power to institute scamdemic reactions and restrictions within the WHO, the World Health Organization? You focus that authority and the power to initiate a scamdemic or a plandemic or a pandemic, however you wish to say it, within the WHO itself. And it doesn't even have to be one that's in existence. It can be one that they think may be on its way. You think I'm kidding? You better read the breakdown of the proposed powers for the WHO. There does not have to be an existing pandemic. They can be fearful that one is on its way and begin preemptive movements. And we'll get into that a little bit deeper, too. And who would back up the WHO if they decided to do this? How about the World Economic Forum? How about the United Nations, people? The United Nations, the WEF, and the WHO. This is what you've got stacked against you. And each and every one of them have already made it known over the course of the last two decades, that their wish is for global governance. Not a guess. This would be giving them the power to initiate national isolations, if you're not complying, national lockdowns, and mandatory vaccinations with unquestioned or unquestionable authority. This is a global organization walking into the United States saying, we think you're about to have a pandemic, so nobody can travel anymore. You go into full lockdown, you have to wear masks every day, and you need to get a vaccine or you won't even be able to go to your grocery store and buy food. And this will come from the WHO, backed up by the WEF and the United Nations, and you will have little to no choice unless you want to go to jail. Or worse. Anybody who doesn't think this is already in the works is because you've been sidetracked by the southern border. You've been sidetracked by a Chinese balloon going all the way across the United States. You've been sidetracked by how many derailments? You've been sidetracked by turning the oil spigot off. Would you like me to go on? How many weeks have we discussed all of these points? And I told you there was a bigger reason. Today, we're talking about the bigger reason. Okay. And this is just the beginning of global governance, people. It's not the end. It's the beginning. Because once the WHO has in place the new, basically the New World Order, the Great Reset, etc., okay, you can say, I don't know, global authoritarianism, and you will be saying it factually. Because at that point, you no longer have a sovereign government. You have a government that is subservient to global powers, which means your vote doesn't mean a damn thing. Nothing. It may for local laws. Made for local rules, but anything the WHO, the United Nations, or the WEF slams in your face, you better comply with. This is already happening. But far too many people are distracted by the massive amount of global catastrophes going on to really put all the pieces in the same bucket. Can you say global authoritarianism? This is happening the likes of, I don't know, Klaus Schwab, George Soros, Bill Gates. They're wetting their pants with glee. I remember 12, 13, 14 years ago writing about the inevitability of this scenario. The only thing I didn't plug into it was a global pandemic. But as far as what's happening, as far as the global authoritarianism or totalitarianism, this is something people like me, not just me, but people like me have been discussing for over a decade, and people were telling us we were freaking nuts. How nuts do we look today, people? How crazy do we look today? And if you think I haven't given you enough, I ain't done. Right now, the entire globe is suffering a ridiculously large number of disasters and catastrophes simultaneously, with most intended to keep you distracted from the reality of humanity being pared down and sold into totalitarian / authoritarian slavery as we speak. That's a summation of the last 10 minutes of what I just said. Not a joke. Not even a guess. There is no other answer for everything that's going on other than that. And if you think there is, I dare you to tell me, because I will literally blow you out of the water verbally. I will pick apart anybody who tries to tell me how wrong I am. The amount of research I put into this is mind-bending. We are looking at a global reset, just not the one they're telling you about. How many American disasters are we living through right now? How many times have you heard me say that? And they're all happening at once. And how much is this distracting from the scenario I just described? Are you worried about the WHO? Are you? When there's a train derailment a mile from your house and poisonous chemicals are leaking everywhere? Are you worried about the WEF when there's a Chinese spy balloon flying over your house? Are you worried about the United Nations when 6 million illegals have come across the border, of which we know hundreds of thousands of them are on a terrorist watch list and are here in the United States to do us harm? Are you worried about the WHO? No, you're not. But why are all of these disasters happening at a rate we have never seen in modern history? Could you get a better distraction? America is expected to put out the loudest shouts of dissatisfaction and the biggest push of noncompliance. Oh, gee, what has Roger said over and over again? Time to roll the eyes into the back of your head, people. Roger has said over and over again, you cannot have global governance unless the cowboys of the world are first brought to their knees. Gee, what do you think? Are you concerned about the WHO? You may be for a few minutes when you read an article about it. Are you concerned about the UN? Nobody's even talking about it. Are you concerned about Klaus Schwab and the WEF? Yeah, you don't like the guy. You think he's a mouthy. But what you're failing to understand is what is behind all of this and how much progress they have actually made. So let's continue. How much progress have they actually made? Joe Bob, our quote-unquote installed president, is going to sign us on to this WHO treaty without even consulting you. Did this go to a vote? Did we agree to put our sovereignty in the hands of the World Health Organization backed by the WEF and the UN? Did you vote for that? Wait a minute. Wait. That can't happen. We live in a constitutional republic. We are governed via a democratic process, meaning we have a voice. But that doesn't seem to matter because Joe Bob is going to sign us up for this without even consulting you. Not a joke, okay? So does he work for us? I'll ask again. Or are we saddled with an installed puppet dictator that was not elected, but we still call him president? Anybody who believes that the guy sitting in the White House today won an honest election has done no homework whatsoever. I know for a fact because I spent over 25 years traveling this world, and I have friends and contacts, and we have websites across the planet. And the amount of people that are telling me we are the biggest fools on the planet because Joe Bob's sitting in the White House is beyond anything you can imagine. I hear it constantly. How the hell can you guys let this guy sit in the White House when you and a vast majority of America either knows or firmly suspects that that was stolen and he was installed? Basement Joe, who couldn't even fill up a high school auditorium while his competitor was putting 50,000 people into a stadium with 5,000 standing outside because there wasn't enough room for them.
Hey, Roger?
Yes?
You ready for the break?
I think I need a breath. Sure. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back in 60 seconds, everyone, if I can find my mouse.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
So the last thing I said before we went to the break, and God, I love the break. I do. On this show, because I really have a lot of faith and hope for TLB Talk. And also remember, just like I ask you to donate to the rest of these platforms, TLB Talk takes no corporate money from anybody. When you take corporate money, you have to take corporate orders. And the more corporate money you take, the bigger the corporate orders. We take no corporate money whatsoever. You support us. So if you want to drop $5 a month, hit the reoccurring payment. You know how I think about that. Send us $5 a month reoccurring. We're going to give you the biggest, baddest social media platform you have ever seen, and you will enjoy it. Up to and including doing your live shows and your live blogs right from TLBTalk.com. But we'll talk about that at a later date. That's coming. Okay, so what I said right prior to the break is Joe Bob is going to sign us on without even consulting you. Wait a minute. Doesn't he work for us, or are we saddled with an installed puppet dictator and not an elected president? Well, I think most of us know the answer to that. And we're the laughing stock of the Western world because of who's sitting in the White House. Not only that, but he has literally weakened the United States, weakened the military, and turned us into a laughing stock across the planet, making the United States a much more dangerous place to live in. Not a joke, an absolute fact. When you leave the southern border open and you know hundreds of thousands, because they've already recorded over 100,000 that have come across the border that they have hooked up with, and they have proved they were on a list. And there are 1.5 to 2 million gotaways. How many of the gotaways do you think were actually on the terrorist watch list? I would dare to say a lot more than what tried to come across the point where they knew people were waiting for them. So we are looking at Joe Bob putting the United States intentionally into one of the worst positions we've ever been put in. And now all of a sudden we have chicken farms burning down and blowing up all over the country. We have turkey farms being destroyed. We have, I don't know, entire beef herds being destroyed. We have more food processing plants destroyed than in the last 30 years combined. That's an actual fact. We have egg processing plants destroyed. Now we have oil processing plants being destroyed. Gee, none of this was happening at anywhere near the frequency, anywhere near the frequency it's happening now. And in a lot of cases, they can't explain it. How many people on the terrorist watch list have been allowed to cross the southern border without the knowledge of those who would have caught them and slapped them in jail or sent them back home? How many? And now we are seeing the largest level of destruction of key facilities in this country we have ever seen. Tell me where I'm wrong. So let's delve into this who thing, the who mechanism, a little bit deeper. Let's go into some of the information that I told you was going to come from David Bell, because he puts together some really good information. Let's go away from the talking points we've just gone through, and let's talk about the World Health Organization. It's currently developing two international legal instruments intended to increase its authority in managing health emergencies, including pandemics. When they say managing, they literally mean putting you under dictatorial or totalitarian control. Not a joke. One is amendments to the 2005 International Health Regulations, IHR, and two, a pandemic treaty, which Joe Bob is going to sign, termed CA+ by the WHO. The draft IHR amendments would lay out new powers for the WHO during health emergencies and broaden the context within which they can be used. The draft CA+ treaty is intended to support the bureaucracy, financing, and governance to underpin the expanded IHR, okay, which is the International Health Regulations. These proposed instruments are currently drafted, or as currently drafted, would fundamentally change the relationship between the WHO and its member states, and, I don't know, naturally, their proportions promoting a fascist and neo-colonialist approach to healthcare and governance. The documents need to be viewed together and in the far wider context of the globalist pandemic preparedness agenda. What he is alluding to is what we said in the opening comments. We are talking about shifting sovereign powers from our local governance, whether it be Australia, the United States, Canada, Great Britain, I don't care who you're talking about, over to the WHO. Again, this is a constitutional republic. Who the hell asked your permission to do this? Who voted on this? Who did? Who voted to allow Joe Bob to destroy the Constitution right in front of your face? Who? WHO. Who? Let's talk about the threat of pandemics. The current rapidly increasing funding for pandemics and health emergencies is based on several fallacies frequently repeated in white papers and other documents, as well as the mainstream media, as if they were facts, which they're not. In particular, pandemics are increasing in frequency. Pandemics are causing increasing health burden. Increased contact between humans and wildlife will promote more pandemics, as most are caused by zoonotic viruses. The last pandemic to cause major mortality, listen to me, I've said this many times before, was the 1918-19 Spanish flu, estimated to have killed between 20 and 50 million people globally. As noted by the National Institutes of Health, most of these people died of secondary bacterial pneumonia. As the outbreak occurred in a pre-antibiotic era. Listen to me. There was no antibiotics. They didn't exist. Prior to this time, major pandemics were due to bubonic plague, cholera, typhus, and other addressable with modern antibiotics and hygiene and smallpox, which is now eliminated. Had there been, okay, antibiotics during the Spanish flu, it would have reduced its impact by 90 to 95%. And nothing in reality as compared to that since the advent of antibiotics. The WHO lists just three pandemics in the past century. prior to COVID-19. The influenza outbreaks of 1957 and 58, the 1968 and 69, and the 2009 swine flu outbreaks. Those three. The former killed 1.1 million and 1 million people respectively, while the latter killed 150,000 or less. You heard what I just said, right? The maximum death from what was considered to be a massive global pandemic was about 1 million people. Let's put it into context. 290,000 to 650,000, with an average of almost 500,000 people die of the flu every single year on this planet. And 1.6 million people die of tuberculosis at a much younger average age. So tuberculosis kills more people on a yearly basis than the worst pandemic we have seen before the lie they call COVID-19. Did we do any of this? Listen to me again. It kills more people every single year than the worst pandemic the planet had seen before the faux pandemic, COVID-19. But yet, we don't shut the world down every single year. We know tuberculosis is going to kill more people than the swine flu did. Why? In Western countries, COVID-19 was associated with deaths at an average age of about 80 years old. And global estimates suggest an overall infection mortality rate of about 0.15%. 0.15%, which is similar to that for influenza. Why? It's a freaking coronavirus, people. What is the flu? It's a coronavirus, people. I'm trying to show you how big the massive lies that have been smashed into your face over and over again, that have ruined your lives, that have ruined the lives of your children, that are destroying this country, how big those lies are. And I'm giving it to you via scientific facts, historical scientific facts. So from everything I've said, pandemics in the past century have killed far fewer people and at an older age than most other major infectious diseases. Let me say that again. Pandemics in the past century have killed far fewer people and at an older age than most other major infectious diseases we suffer at a regular and yearly basis. The coronavirus and its fatality rate does not outshine just about anything. It may indicate what you would have in a bad flu year, but not outside something we haven't seen many times before. How many times have we destroyed the global economy? How many times have we brought the cowboys of the globe to their knees because of flu season? How many? The COVID-19 event stands out from previous pandemics due to the aggressive and disproportionate responses employed, okay, and instituted contrary to existing WHO guidelines. Yeah, I said that. Yeah, disproportionate responses instituted contrary to existing WHO guidelines. The harms of this response have been, I don't know, discussed extensively by you, by me, by how many people, and elsewhere across the country or across the planet, with little doubt that the resultant disruptions to health systems and increased poverty will cause far higher mortality and for a far younger age than would have been expected from COVID-19 itself. How many people died in hospitals on respirators? How many people died from a vaccine when you could have taken hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin and lived? But they wouldn't let you do it because that wouldn't sterilize you. That wouldn't make sure that once you were fully vaccinated, four or five vaccines, that you probably weren't going to live because you don't have a immune system anymore for more than another 5 or 6 years. Why the hell were we kept from taking hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin when it was a known fact and a scientifically proven fact? They were far less dangerous, far more available, far cheaper, and much more effective. Despite the historical rarity of pandemics, the WHO and partners, the WEF and the United Nations are pushing forward with a rapid process that will ensure repetition of such responses rather than first analyzing the cost and benefits of the recent example. This is clearly reckless and a bad way to develop a policy. Now, see, this guy puts it in a very kind way. I'm going to tell you what he just said. If you take a look at the amount of useless deaths across the entire planet, if you take a look at the amount of people who have committed suicide because their lives have been ruined, if you take a look at the destroyed businesses, if you take a look at, then you realize beyond a shadow of a doubt that although this didn't stand out above anything else we've already seen, we went overboard a billion times more in this case than we ever have before. But now the WHO and partners are pushing to make such responses the norm, not the exception. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? But how many of you are going to remember that? Because when this show is over, there's going to be another train wreck. When this show is over, there's going to be another Chinese balloon. When this show is over, your teacher is going to, I don't know, your kid's going to come home and say, another drag queen came in and showed you how to use a butt plug. Your six-year-old. And you're going to forget what the hell I told you today, aren't you? Nothing on this planet is more important than what you're hearing right now. We are talking about the massive die-off of humanity and totalitarian or authoritarian rule being stuck down your freaking throat, whether you like it or not. And I'm not joking. What is the role of the WHO in public health? The WHO, whilst having a role in coordinating cross-border health emergencies included in its constitution, was founded on human rights principles and originally emphasized community and individual rights. What? They sure threw that constitution out, didn't they? These culminated in the Declaration of Alma-Ata, emphasizing the importance of community participation and horizontal approaches to care. What happened? You think maybe the elitists took over? Apart from its basis in human rights, this approach has a strong public health basis. Improved life expectancy and major reductions in infectious disease in wealthier populations predominantly occurred through improved living conditions, nutrition, sanitation, and a secondary impact of improving basic health care and the availability and access to antibiotics. Most vaccines came later through playing an important role. Certain diseases such as smallpox were basically eliminated. Basic nutrition and living conditions are still the predominant detriment of life expectancy, with GDP recognized as directly impacting infant mortality, in particular in lower income countries, which I told you, they will literally be bullied into joining or signing this treaty, or they will be left to starve to death. The emphasis of the WHO has changed over the past few decades, in particular, associated with two major shifts in funding. Firstly, a large portion of funding now comes from private and corporate sources. Gee, the Gates Foundation, gee, Big Pharma. Rather than being almost solely based, country based, their income at its inception, meaning they were supported by donations from countries, sovereign countries. Secondly, most funding is now specified, meaning it is given to the WHO for specific projects in designated geographics or geographies, rather than being used at the WHO's discretion to address the greatest disease burdens. I am Big Pharma. I'm giving you $10 billion. This is what you're going to do with it. And there's nothing you can say about it if you want that money. This is reflected in an apparent move from priorities based on disease burden to priorities based on commodities, particularly vaccines. Oh, did I say Big Pharma and then say vaccines? My God, imagine that. That generate profit for its private and corporate sponsors. How much influence do you think Big Pharma had on the WHO when you have a quote unquote pandemic that is basically the yearly flu, and you go out and force or coerce 6.5 billion people to take multiple what they already know are dangerous mRNA jabs? And from each one of those, how much profit did Big Pharma make? Now, who is running the WHO? Is it the people who sit on the board at the WHO, or is it the people who sit on the board at Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson? And I could go on. In parallel, other public-private partnerships have arisen, including Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, and CEPI, dedicated solely to pandemics. These organizations include private interests on their governing boards and address a narrow health focus that reflects the priorities of private sponsors, Big Pharma. They influence the WHO through direct funding and through funding within WHO's member states. Other UN agencies have evolved in similar ways, with UNICEF now heavily focused on implementing mass COVID vaccination among populations already immune, whilst children in former focus have had rapidly deteriorating health metrics. Why? Because children are so, they're not in danger from COVID. They're much more in danger from the vaccine, including things like myocarditis, including things like sterility, including things like. We are literally selling our children to Big Pharma via the mechanisms of the WHO, whether we like it or not. Now, look, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. I'm going to make sure that the link to this article is in the article I publish tomorrow. A vast majority of what you heard today were talking points, but I needed you to at least hear enough of the scientific presentation here so that you understood why I get so angry when I give you my talking points. They're never hollow. They're never made up. They're never exaggerated. When I tell you we stand on the precipice of the biggest genocide ever committed against humanity, please don't laugh. Don't. Please don't think I'm lying. Please don't think I'm exaggerating, because everything I showed you today, and you can see even more tomorrow when you read his article and other articles, I will link to this, you will totally understand that the biggest thing that should be drawing your attention is not the balloon. It's not the southern border. I'm not telling you don't pay attention to them. What I am telling you is this and 100 other major disasters all happening simultaneously across the planet at a rate we have never seen in the history of this planet are there to keep you from what is actually the most important thing going on this planet today. And that is the destruction of global countries' sovereignty, as well as these people aren't stupid. They know for a fact they cannot control via a global governance 8.5 billion people. But they probably can control a billion of us real good. How do you get from 8.5 billion to 1 billion? How do you get there? You think maybe we talked about that today? You think maybe we talked about the fact that even the WHO was never set up to do what they're doing? Do you think we talked about the fact that initially the WHO only got its money from countries, governments to support it? And now a huge portion of their money comes from the Gates Foundation, comes from Pfizer, comes from Moderna, comes from, and I could go on and on and on. And these are the elitists who wish to own and run this planet. And this plan has been in the works. I will dig out articles I wrote 15 years ago and slam them in your face, telling you exactly what's happening now. The only thing I didn't mention was a pandemic, because I didn't believe it would be a pandemic. I didn't know. I shouldn't say I didn't believe. I didn't know. But the scenario played out 15 years ago in what I wrote the same way it's playing out today. This has been in the plans for 200 years. It accelerated after World War II because technology accelerated. And it went into hyperdrive in the 1990s when the internet started to become, well, it was proliferating all across the planet. If I can say enough or say anything enough times to enough people, they will eventually believe it. And from there, my control grows. Today, we as a people are looking at a massive genocide of humanity and a total loss of sovereignty. If anybody here doesn't believe what I just said, don't listen to my shows anymore! Because you're wasting your time. I hate doing these shows. I freaking hate it with a passion. I'm doing it because I'm dedicated to making sure you understand what you need to do to keep you and your kids as safe as possible for as long as possible. And if you can't understand that, don't waste your time listening to my shows. Humanity is in more trouble and more danger today than we have ever been in the history of this planet outside of the Great Flood. And that's not a joke. That's an absolute fact. And everything you see going on around you is a distraction from the two biggest things I have been telling you over and over again on every show. Bring the cowboys of the world to their knees, take down global governance, make a global government, and take the global population to a controllable number. How many times have you heard me say that? It is happening, and you ain't paying attention. You're too busy looking at 500 other disasters going on in your neighborhood. And I don't blame you, but I will keep trying to wake you up. All right, Stephen, what did I get wrong?
everything. It's all just a coincidence, Roger. You're nothing but a conspiracy theorist.
It's all a coinkydink.
It's all a coinkydink. Yep.
Stephen, only you could make me laugh after that. Nobody else could do that. But you can. And I appreciate you, my friend. I really do.
All right.
All right, everybody listening, thank you for listening. And I will say it one more time. If you don't want to hear what I just told you today again, don't listen to my shows anymore. But I'm hoping you'll be here next week. I appreciate all of you. Have a good day.
Until next time, everyone.